All right. We are doing a coaching call that we're recording with Scott Youngsma as it relates to asking biggest challenge questions and how do you take and transition that from asking, from getting their biggest challenge to actually translating that into business. And so, Scott, you've done the biggest, you've got their biggest challenge, one of them, which is going to be the most popular one, the most often, most frequent that you would use would be, I don't have, you know, I don't have enough time. So your most frequent are going to be, I don't have enough time, I'm not making, there's not enough sales. So those are probably 50 to 75% of the biggest challenges are either those two or something that connects back into those.
Correct.
Make sense?
Yep.
So you gave her the white paper, and so that's good. And then you go ahead, and when you give her that or follow up on it, either one of those, just say, I was just following up to make sure. Have you given her the white paper yet?
Nope, that's on today's agenda.
Okay. So you give her the white paper. You can either email it to her or you can go ahead and, you know, call her and let her know you're getting it to her, whatever. But when you talk to her, you want to get it into a conversation. I've been thinking about your time management. How's that going? You know, I've been giving that some additional thought. I might have a couple other ideas that might help you save time as well. And so I don't know if you'd have, you know, a few minutes now or if you wanted to schedule time for us to, you know, chat, you know, next day or so. Then she'd tell you. She says, let's say she says, yeah, no, I'm good now. Say, okay. So if you had 10 leads, a lead being a name and a phone number, from all the different lead sources you have, how many of those would you convert? How many of those would convert into a sale? The average in most industries is about 1 out of 10. What do you think yours would be? Now, that is a very, very critical scripting that you're doing. And so the front part of that is hem and hawn. You know, I've been giving it some, I've been thinking about this, so you don't want it to come out too smooth.
Okay.
And then when you give her, you know, so if you had 10 leads, so, you know, I'd listen to this recording and maybe even transcribe it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and so if you had 10 leads, a lead being a name and a phone number from any lead you get, both of those segments are very important that you have to say. How many of those would convert into an actual client? That's the third segment. And then the fourth, the average in the industries, most industries, about 1 out of 10. What do you think yours would be? That's very critical, too. All four of those segments are absolutely critical to getting where you want to get to. And then she would probably say, oh, I don't know, I'm probably guessing I'm 1 out of 10 or 2 out of 10. The most common mistake is people don't say the average in the industry is about 1 out of 10. And if you don't say that, they'll say 5, 6, or 7 out of 10. And if they have 5, 6, or 7 out of 10, one is it's not true, almost guaranteed. And then the whole, you like your whole approach, this whole strategy doesn't work if they don't say 1, 2, or 3 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you say it just like I said it, 9 out of 10 times, they're going to say, probably 1 or 2 out of 10. And then you go, so if they say, let's say 2 out of 10, you say, wow, that's amazing. That's twice as good as the average in the industry. Great work on that. Then you might go ahead and add, so what would be the two reasons you'd attribute that your success to? You might say that or you might not. It depends their voice, their tone, how much time. When people start talking about their own success, that's what they value. I work really hard. I'm really knowledgeable. So why are you successful? When people tell you what it is, it's what they value. It's not why they're successful. It's just what they value. So you might say that or you might not. Then you say, on the other hand, you're not getting paid on 80% of the leads, 80% of the work that you do, you're not getting paid on. And so from a time management perspective, one of the most effective ways for you to make a lot more money and work a lot less hours is to better convert the leads that you have coming in. And you need to talk jagged like that. Otherwise, they won't understand what you're saying. They have to process it. And so what you're doing is you're actually educating them, training them or coaching them or whatever you want to call it, but they haven't probably ever thought of it like that before. People don't connect their low sales closing ratio. They don't connect their low sales closing ratio to why they're working so many hours or not having enough time. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So then you say, So if I could, if I could help you, tips, tools, thoughts, ideas. So tips, tools, thoughts, ideas. So if I could help you, so you're almost like reflective in your mind and you're talking as you're thinking. And again, that's building trust to them. They're like, wow, the guy remembered what my biggest challenge was. He's really working on what that is. So if I could help you, if you could convert, and so don't be afraid to say a lot of different words where you're looking for just the right one, because then it's going to sound pure in what you're saying. It's not going to sound scripted, or rehearsed. And then you say, if I could help you convert just one or two more out of 10, that not only save you a lot of time, because then you don't have to go out and get another 10 or 20 leads, but that would help you make a lot more money and actually reduce the number of hours you're working. Does that make sense? And so you're just, again, your voice, your tone, it's very jagged. It's like what I'm doing right now. It needs to be like that. Otherwise, you reduce the probability of it working. It still might work, but you reduce the probability of it working. And then she would say, that makes sense. And then, people, when you say something like that, they will think you're really smart. It's like, wow. Like, where did you learn this, Scott? How do you know this? And so, if they start to become, because what you're doing is you're changing how they view you. You're moving from a transactional relationship to a transactional process. You give me referrals, I close them, you make money since you're a realtor or whatever. You're going from transactional to almost a relational to a consultative type of thing. And so you're moving, and when you do it the right way, it can all happen in minutes. I mean, it's not something that takes months to do. It all can happen very quickly. And so if you get the sense that the person's like in awe of you, like, how do you know that? How do you know this? I mean, I know you're just a loan officer. Often it doesn't serve you well to be revered as being really smart. So what you do is you say, well, actually, this is exactly what I'm doing in my own business now to give me more time and help my business. Is I'm working with and then you can say you're doing it in your own business and leave it at that. You don't have to say anything more. You can say you're part of a mastermind group. You can say you're being coached. Whatever it is that you want to say – to give them some type of context as to why are you so brilliant? Why all of a sudden do you know these things that you're asking them? If they have questions about that and they don't ask because they don't know how to ask, they don't know, how are you so smart? So the expressive will just come right out and ask that. But the other two or three personalities may not, and so they won't listen to you from that point on. And so, again, there's a whole ton of stuff that goes on underneath the current that you don't even see. And so then you go, so do you have a process for tracking, like, all of your leads? And 9 out of 10 times, people will say no, they don't. And again, they will tend to trust you more if you're a peer going through with them than if you're a high-level person or something higher than them, because you don't want them to have themselves feel stupid. They're not paying you to do coaching, so you're not really doing coaching. You're just sharing, you know, thoughts that you have with them. And then say, you know, it's interesting because, you know, over the last year I've been tracking all my leads, and it's amazing how much it's helped me. And it's, you know, it doesn't take that much time. It's really easy to do. I think it would really help you. You know, I think it really would help you in being able to better, you know, to have more time. And then you say, so what do you think about that idea? You think that might help you? And then they'll typically say, yeah, I think that's a good idea. And say, okay. I mean, did you want any help on that? Is there anything I can do? And so what you don't want to do is you don't want to push yourself on them too hard. And so this may be over a couple conversations. It may be one. You don't want to be afraid to take them the whole way the first time, but you don't want to just, it's not just you do it automatically. You've got to be very sensitive to what's going on. If you're talking to them on the phone, you've got to be very sensitive. If you're meeting with them in person, then you have a little bit, it's a little easier. Because then you could bring one of your spreadsheets, print them out, and you could say, oh, this is what I'm doing. And you could bring out a blank one and say, if you want, just start writing this down. You have 20 on a page, just start tracking it. And so getting them to track all of their leads, if they're not tracking all of their leads, if they're not tracking all of their leads, getting them to do that puts you in a position to review all the leads that they have coming in. Does that make sense?
Sure.
And then, I mean, from there, you know the best and how to do all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if they are tracking the leads, which, again, is very abnormal, most don't track them. But if they are tracking them, or if they're kind of tracking them, say, do you use personalities to sell people? And if they say, what do you mean? Say, well, do you identify an individual's personality when you talk to them? You know, the four different personalities, driver, analytical, expressive, amiable. Do you use personalities to actually go ahead and sell your lead? Sell your leads. And they'll typically say, no. Or they might say, well, I kind of do sell to different personalities in a little different way. And then you could ask them the four questions, which of these four shapes, you know, which of these four things. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to continue to get more information, and then as you get more information about them, that creates additional intrigue to where you're not asking for the business. You're not just there like every other loan officer. You don't just have your hand out and say, gimme, gimme, gimme. You are sincerely interested in growing their business, and you have a ton of ideas on how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you ever run into anything somebody says, and they're like, well, yeah, there's this or this, and you always have your back door, which is put your hand to your chin and go, that is a great question. Let me give that some thought and get back to you. And so that's you don't have to give them an answer to what they say, or if they make a comment, you don't have to respond right then and there. And then what you could do is you could bring it up on the Monday or the Friday call, either one of those, and then it's recorded. Then we can clip that out, or they can listen to the whole call and say, hey, I brought up what you said on one of my mastermind calls. There was some pretty interesting stuff that was said there. So, again, sometimes it's in your advantage for you to say the stuff and go through the stuff, and then other times it's in your advantage to go ahead and have somebody else say it, and then you just point to it and say, what do you think about that? Does that make sense?
Okay. Nope, that makes a lot of sense.
And so that's one strategy. Maybe next week when we get together, I can talk to you about another strategy is to say, on the time management, one of the things that I have found is that, if we have some goals and I better partner, I can save you a lot of time. And so what I have is I've created kind of an outline interview. It takes us about, and then whatever you want to tell them, you can tell them 15 minutes, you can tell them a half an hour, you can tell them an hour, whatever you want to tell them. If you want to take them out to breakfast or lunch, you can do that. Whatever you want to do, you can set it up to do it, because there's more than enough questions to ask them. And then what you do as part of that is in your Action Vision book, in one of the appendices, I forget which one it is, there's a form that you would ask them, how many leads did you get last year? How many sales did you have? Then you figure out their sales closing ratio, and then you say, how many leads would you like to set as a goal this year? And how many of those would you like to close? And there's an entire strategy and technique. Let's say they say, I want to get 5 leads a month. Okay. So that's 60 leads a year that you want to get. And how many of those 60 leads would you like a third party like myself to help you to close? And one way I do that, and this goes back to why they're successful, what are the two reasons you're successful? An analytics goal is going to almost always say, because I really know my market. And their secondary is amiable, and I really care about people. A driver is going to go ahead. A driver agent will say, I'm a great negotiator, and I'm really driven. Or if they're a driver expressive, I'm really driven, and I'm fun to work with. And amiable is going to say, the reason I'm successful is because I'm really caring about people. And if they're, an analytical, and I really make sure all the things are in order. So when you ask somebody why they're successful, that's their subconscious brand. That's why they think they're successful. That's why they think people work with them. And in some cases it's true. In some cases it's just a deception and a delusion. And so if you go ahead and when you're getting their goals, and again, we can go into this either, we can go into this next week, or we can go ahead and go into it on Monday on the group coaching. But if you walk them through how many leads that they want, so I want to get 5 leads a month, okay, that's 60 leads. Last year you closed 6 out of, you know, 6 out of 30, you know, 20%. And so if you get 60 leads this year, how many of those would you like to close? And they might say, you know, well, at least, you know, let's say 15 or let's say 20. Okay. And so let's say that they were an analytical expressive. So the reasons you're successful is because you really watch the details and you're just fun to work with. So, you know, Gene, let me ask you a question. If you had, you get 60 leads, do you think it would be helpful for you in converting, you know, 20 of those 60 into clients of yours? Would it be helpful for your mortgage partner to connect with those, you know, how many of those 60 would you like me to connect with and come up with some type of an email or a referral letter or something testifying that, you know, I've worked with a lot of real estate professionals over the year, and Jean, the thing that's amazing about Jean is she is so good at making sure that your numbers are just absolutely perfect, and she's a lot of fun to work with. How many of those 60 would you like me to say that to you, say to them that about you? And Gene's like, well, I don't know, like all 60 of them? And you're like, oh, okay, I can do that. So what you're doing is at the beginning of the year, whenever you sit down with somebody, you're helping them do strategic planning. You're helping them go through and understand the numbers they need to get to the goals that they need to, that they want to get to. And then you're saying, this is how I'm going to help you reach those goals. And then you're asking them, how many of your leads would you like me to say this to? You're not selling yourself. You're selling them the way they want to be sold based on their brand and what they value. And then what they do is they say, yeah, I want you to say that to all. So what they're doing is they're telling you on the upfront, I'm going to refer all my business to you. So that's a different strategy that can also be used. I would say that probably over the next 3 months, we probably want to focus in on helping you have somewhere between 3 and 5 strategies that you feel very comfortable and very confident deploying.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes, it does.
Anything else I can do to help you today, sir?
No, that should cover it. Can you send me, like, the recording of that?
I can. I can't, but our media team will. I'll put them. I'll put a note, and they should be able to get that over to you first thing tomorrow.
All righty. Sounds great.
Sounds good, Scott. Thanks.
Thanks, Mark.
Bye-bye.